after leaving the garden, that younger monk can't stop thinking about what just happened. Truth be told, lately the younger monk is holding on to more than a few resentments. Back in the Sangha, he wonders why he has to wash the dishes more than the other monks. Actually, it doesn't really matter how many times he has to wash the dishes. The simple act of picking up the dish rag seems to suck the energy right out of him. He thinks to himself, maybe I'm a little burned out. And where are we going on this walk anyway? Where are we going? Yes, the older monk has explained it's good to go out for a walk to get exercise and hear the birds chirp and the changing shades of light dappling in the leaves. But heck, for me, this stuff is boring. And when am I going to get to decide how to spend my own time anyway? Then there's the older monk. Yes, he cares about respecting the vows. But that gardener looked frail and worried. And the older monk has felt full of energy lately, so he thought it was his duty to be helpful. And now he honestly isn't thinking about that garden stuff at all. Inside his head, the older monk is actually laughing to himself. He doesn't know why, but he keeps remembering a joke they always told in his childhood. Two ducks sitting on a pond. One duck says, quack, quack. The other duck says, wow, I was just about to say that. The older monk never gets tired of that joke. Who does? The older monk doesn't know why for sure, but lately he's simply filled with a joy for life. Taking this hike, smelling the pine trees, fills him with ease and contentment. The blackbird's songs today are worthy of any concert hall. And all this excitement for the simple moments of daily life gives the senior monk a resilience to prepare for, recover from, and adapt in the face of stress, challenge, or adversity. The older monk does feel compassion for his younger companion. The younger monk looks aggravated and worn out. Small incidents seem to knock the younger monk off his center. And the older monk has been around the block more than a few times. A long ago learned lesson comes to mind, bringing a smile. The older monk knows that it probably won't be long before the younger monk and he will switch positions. Someday soon, probably, the older monk will be feeling down and the younger one will be on top of the world. That's just the way it goes. By living in community and supporting one another, they are all better prepared for the ups and downs of life. Resilience is the spiritual theme of the month. Heart Math is a national program in which my colleague, Reverend Larry Pierce, coached me during a time. Heart Math defines resilience as preparing for, recovering from, and adapting in the face of stress, challenge, and adversity. The younger monk seems to lack resilience for a number of reasons. Quite often, he thinks about the past and the future. Not very often is he thinking about the present. He's also engaging in activities that do not feel true to his individual gifts and self-expression, kind of like our children's story this morning. And the younger monk might be taking himself a bit too seriously. Hence, he feels drained. The older monk does pay attention to the present moment. The power of now gives him resilience to meet the challenge of the moment. The older monk is following his passion by walking through the pines, listening to the blackbirds, and engaging in random acts of kindness. He's also taking himself lightly and finding much of life delightful. Good stuff. All of this together fills his spiritual battery and gives him energy to take on tough situations and bounce back. This month in our small group ministries, you can find the curriculum on the webpage, even if you're not in a small group. We're asking each other, how do you build resilience in yourself? How do you build resilience in yourself? What fills your battery? Take some time this month to list challenges you faced and meditate on how you've overcome them. They could be some of the biggest challenges of your life, or they could be things that hit this week. What happened and how did you overcome? Like the monks, we often learn resilience in community. And thinking back on my own life, I realized that I learned a lot about resilience in church. Growing up at Third Unitarian of Chicago, I witnessed many people facing life's challenges. My father's two best friends were in our church. When I was a teenager, one of those friends took his own life. That time of shock and loss was the first time for me when life did not make sense. Did not make sense. I remember like it was yesterday. It was winter in Chicago. I was trying to warm up. So I was sitting on the radiator in the dining room and thinking, something is really wrong, and I don't know if any of us can make it right. Something is just wrong, and I don't know what to do. I was friends with Greg, the boy whose dad committed suicide. I felt so sad and worried for Greg. And somehow, Greg and his mom made it through. And somehow, we all made it through. I remember my dad got up to speak at the funeral. And he couldn't speak. He just cried and sat down. It was a tough time. The relationships in that church played a major role in empowering the surviving family and friends to keep going and restart, go to the next chapter of our lives. The book didn't end. When we think about measuring resiliency, we often take into consideration how somebody does under the highest levels of crises, like a sudden death or a loss of a job or a divorce. However, people and communities who do well in crises are often building resilience for months and years beforehand. Just like training to get physically fit or practicing the piano to play well, we have to work and cultivate resilience in our body, mind, and spirit. You have to cultivate resilience. Dave Wurzel is a member of our church and a firefighter, and Dave trains firefighters around the country in wellness and resilience. I love talking to Dave and seeing how he thinks firefighters make it through dangerous situations where somebody gets hurt and they make it out, sacrifice to help one more person. And he says there are many aspects of building up that resilience, but most of them are just mundane, regular stuff, not the romantic stories you see in TV or film. Dave teaches developing resilience is about basic life practices. I think many of them are applicable to anybody who wants to live a good life. For example, Dave lives out a practice which he teaches the firefighters to engage in. He has a collage in his bedroom with images of people who inspire him and to whom he's dedicated. At the center of the collage are pictures of his family, Mona, Billy, and Galena. Then he has a picture with himself and fellow firefighters. He has a nature scene from the Cape in New England where his family goes. And moving out from the center, he has Rabbi Heschel, Gandhi, and Rocky Balboa. Very important. Every morning, Dave looks at the collage and intentionally fills his tank with energy to go and meet his goals. And when he gets set back, the relationships and commitments from those pictures, from those living relationships, inspire and bring positive energy and resilience. Who is in your collage of inspiration and positive energy? Who is in your collage? In firefighting, another dynamic that gives strength is the reality that no firefighter is alone. A key mantra historically is two men in, two men out. I assume now it's two people in, two people out. In other words, firefighters don't work alone. They don't work alone ever. You're always responsible for somebody else and vice versa. And that gives you an obligation and energy to make it through. Nobody comes out alone, no matter what. This is true in our own lives as well when we're realizing our potential. When we are bonded with spiritual friends or beloved community, we have reason to make it through a tough time, and we have more capacity because we're filled with attention, love, and support that goes both ways. You have less capacity living in solitary confinement, including spiritually. There are many good systems out there of how to cultivate resilience, and some of the activities I believe in the most include making a gratitude list on a daily basis. Nobody says, oh, I'm focused too much on gratitude. Man, gotta get to think about something else. Think about what is in your life for which you give thanks mindfully. Laughter. Gandhi used to talk about this all the time. Find ways to get laughter in your life, including sometimes just fake it. If you think it seems funny somewhat intellectually to me, laugh. Just try. Just practice. Fake it till you make it. That's not cognitive behavioral therapy. Sorry. That's a distraction. Laugh. Stay connected with people who lift you up and inspire you. Whenever you have a choice, be around people who affirm and promote you and your well-being and vice versa. And then spiritual activities, disciplines, meditation, or any regular thing that connects you with the miracle of life. This could be Legos or knitting. And of course, get enough sleep, exercise, and try and eat well. Fuel for the temple. When you're engaged in positive daily habits and thinking about this, like Dave who looks at his collage intentionally in the morning, you're more open for the big examples of resilience in the human family. This next example may seem trite to some, but it's a perfect example of resilience to many, including tennis fans around the world. People, last Sunday, Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal played 5 sets against each other in the Australian Open final. 3:30 in the morning. Connie was watching the entire tournament at 3:30 in the morning. which is a crazy thing about our intern minister. Ask her about it. Now, Rafa and Roger, I believe, are probably the two best tennis players ever to live. You can talk, but they're up there. They have played head-to-head 35 times. They are now older guys on the decline. The playing in this match was mind-boggling. One guy could hit 9 unbelievably amazing shots and lose the point on the 10th. And it was just, you have to see it to believe it. Two amazing champions head-to-head. Here's the thing on resilience. If you put the camera on them after every single point, this is almost a 4-hour match, two people, two human beings for 4 hours. You wouldn't know who won or lost the last point. They reset and focus like a laser in the next point with body, mind, and spirit locked in to the power of now, locked in on that ball every time. Just amazing resiliency. Resilience happens in amazing ways that have nothing to do with sports. A dear friend and role model, a Christian of mine, Ann Wheat, died last year. Ann was my piano teacher, my minister's wife, and the mother of my best friend in the world. In her early 80s, Ann spent the last year of her life knowing she would soon die of cancer. Although she and her loved ones spent those months with grief, we around her also knew we needed to cherish every moment. Spending many days with low energy and some agony, Anne still read poetry out loud with her friends. Anne had taught piano for 50 years, and her students traveled from all over the country to be with her and play music together. In her last week, Anne went for a swim in Lake Michigan. She was sick, and she got up and walked out on the beach and went for a swim. Family members stood on the beach with tears in their eyes, watching Anne take that same swim she had been taking for 40 years. She died like 4 days later. In reality, we all have incentive to cherish every moment. None of us knows when our time will come. You may feel called to listen to birds sing and enjoy the dappling sun through the trees. You may feel called to witness for mercy or stand on the side of love. You may feel called to engage in random acts of kindness. For this and so much more, let's cultivate resilience together. Blessings be. Amen.